Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. Matthew chapter number 5. And, you know, as we think about wrapping up this series here this morning, I continue to find an amusement in the message that was preached right before we started this series. And Jay had preached a message about getting into books and reading good Christian literature and all that stuff and talked about, hey, put the video games away. And I was just dying laughing watching that, knowing this was going to be the series. Like, this is an interesting introduction into what we're going to talk about. Just forget everything he ever said. And, well, not everything. And we're going to talk about video games. And I just thought that was so comical. I was reminiscing about that here this past week. We're in Matthew chapter number 5. And maybe for those who are here for the first time or watching online, you're like, what does video games have to do with Matthew chapter number 5? We'll talk about that. Let's begin reading in verse number 43. You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And so we've been talking about this series entitled Next Level, and all throughout this part of Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus keeps saying, hey, you've heard that it has been said, and he gives them an Old Testament command that they had been taught. And he says, but what I want to say to you is something else. And for some, they look at this as if Jesus is taking what they'd been taught in the Old Testament and throwing it away and replacing it with someone else. That is not the case. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, the Scripture tells us. So he's not throwing them away. What he's saying is we need to take it to the next level. I want to tell you what this command is really all about. And we began this series by seeing Jesus talk about next level forgiveness. And man, it's so important for us to be a people who, first of all, give forgiveness. And we ought to be quick to give forgiveness. Somebody hurts us, somebody wrongs us, we should be willing to give forgiveness, whether or not they're sorry, whether or not they repent, whether or not they come ask for forgiveness. We ought to be a people, Jesus says, who takes forgiveness to the next level. Because a lot of times we only offer forgiveness if somebody apologizes, if they own their mistake. Jesus says, no. The next level is you be a people who forgive. Not only that, he says, don't just give forgiveness, but we need to get forgiveness. Okay, can we all be honest and say we're going to hurt people? We're going to wrong people. We're going to do things we shouldn't. We're going to say things that we shouldn't. There's going to be times in every single one of our lives where we need to get forgiveness. And some of you, even today, need to go to somebody else and say, you know what, I'm sorry. And just own your mistakes, own your words, own your failures, and be quick to get and seek out forgiveness. He then goes on and talks about we need next level self-control. That we should not allow our desires to control us. We ought to be under control of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're reminded what Paul wrote when he said, hey, you ought to know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and in honor. In other words, we all ought to know how to control ourselves. My lusts, my desires should not control me, and neither should yours. He says, hey, we need to take our commitment to the next level. And he has this conversation about divorce and about remarriage. And we spent some time going through that. And man, we need to take that commitment to the next level. And I love what the disciples said as Jesus is having this conversation. He says, Jesus, if you really mean what you said, if the commitment is really that serious, it would probably be better if we didn't get married at all. See, they understood by listening to Jesus' words that marriage was a sacred commitment, and we ought to go into it saying, you know what, I'm going to give the rest of my life to this. Then we need to take honesty to the next level. And our words ought to mean something. He says, hey, your yes should mean yes, your no should mean no. You don't need all of these promises and all these oaths and swearing on this and swearing on that. If you say it, you ought to mean it. And that honesty needs to go to the next level. Last week we talked about next level mercy and how important it is for us to bestow that mercy upon people. And it's a very similar conversation about forgiveness. We talked about justice versus mercy because both of those things are so important. I mean, we want justice. That is ingrained within us. And Jesus says, hey, you also need to be merciful. So how do we balance those two? Because sometimes it seems like mercy and justice are at war with each other, and they're not. And one of the ways that helps me to understand when is the right time to seek justice, when is the right time to show mercy, for me it depends on who's being wronged. If I am personally being wronged by someone, it's my responsibility to show mercy. But if I look out and I observe people, if I observe someone who is being wronged, it's not me, it's somebody else, I need to seek justice on behalf of that person. Those people. He says, hey, you need to take that mercy to the next level. Don't be quick to mete out justice for yourself, but grant that mercy. And this morning, we're going to talk about next level love, taking our love to the next level. Now, this is where the video games come in. Last week, we talked about the different genres, and I had mentioned that just like there's a bunch of different genres of video games, there's a bunch of different motivations for video games as well. And we talked about justice is one of those motivations for video games. Somebody has done something to you, they've taken something from you, whatever it else, and the whole motivation behind the video game is to seek justice for whatever wrong has been done. So what are some other things? I want to hear from you. What are some other motivations for a video game? Anybody have any ideas? What's some other motivations for video games? Yes. All right. Boredom. I'm just bored. So I'm going to sit here and do this or that. Yeah. What's some other motivations behind? A point of a video game might be justice. What's another point of a video game? Yeah. All right, so maybe it's just simply to beat a level. And how many of you are addicted to Candy Crush or were addicted to Candy Crush when that was popular like 10 years ago? And that was literally all about just sitting there beating a level. There was nothing really to it. No motivation behind it other than simply beating the level. Anybody else think of anything else? What is maybe another motivation and the purpose behind this particular video game? Cameron? All right, to collect things. Might be go around and just collect and that's it. Yes. Yeah, rescue the princess. Yeah.
Building stuff.
Yeah. So like Minecraft or whatever, one of those sandbox games. Yes. Yeah, simply just entertainment. You're right. And we have these different motivations behind video games. Now, one of the motivations is love. And it's all about this person and this other individual. Ashley talked about rescuing the princess. And so we go to Mario. And Mario is his whole purpose. I want to rescue the princess. Now, I don't know that they ever tell us that they're in love, right? But I'd like to think so. Think about everything that Mario goes through over and over and over again to rescue Princess Peach. That's love behind that. There's no way you're facing fire-breathing dragons unless you love this person so much. And the kind of love I think that Mario has for the princess, that's next level. Because he's willing to do whatever. He's willing to literally go to the next level so that he can rescue her. That's Mario's type of love. And one of the things that Jesus is talking about here is hey, we need to take our love to the next level. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43, Jesus starts off this conversation the same way he has started off the previous five, where he says, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And he's making a quote here from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18, where it says this, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall in any wise rebuke your neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So when Jesus is making this quote, he says, hey, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, I read through here and I'm like, I don't see anywhere where it tells us to hate their enemy. So where did that come from? Obviously, it says, hey, love your neighbor. And somewhere along the line, it seems they left off the little part about as yourself, which is in a very important part because it dictates the way that you and I are to love one another. But he says, hey, this is what they were teaching at that moment. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's what the religious leaders were teaching the people of that day. And most likely it was a cultural thing at that point. They had read into Leviticus chapter number 19 and these verses that we talked about. Because you notice in verse 17 of Leviticus 19, it says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, talking about your fellow children of Israel. That's what he's talking about. Don't hate them. And then he says in verse number 18, talks about the children of your people. So when we're talking about a neighbor here, their thought process is my fellow countrymen, my fellow Jews, the children of Israel. And that is the way that they looked at it. They said, hey, we need to love each other as the children of Israel. And anybody who's not outside that, we don't necessarily have to love. And there's some people that believe that they took verses like Psalm 137 that talked about God's vengeance on the ungodly to say, hey, we need to hate those who are outside of the children of Israel. That sounds a lot like some Americans today. Hey, if you're an American, we love you. Everybody else, we hate you. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be. It's not what was intended here. And so there were during Jesus' day, people that were divided on, hey, what do we do here? Because some really exalted this idea of universal love that, hey, we ought to love all people. And then there were others who they lifted up this idea of hating your enemies. And in fact, there is a very clear hatred command that is found in the rules of the Qumran community. And it stated this, that believers should love everyone God has elected and hate everyone he has cast aside. This is what they had been taught. And Jesus says, okay, this is what you're being taught. Now let me teach you something. Let me tell you something. Because we want to take our love to the next level. That's what Jesus says. And he goes on in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44, and says, but I say unto you, and this is where it goes to the next level. He says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, if we compare these two verses, we can say, you know what, that's next level love. Because they had been taught, hey, you just love your neighbors, hate your enemies. We can all do that. And maybe your neighbor is your enemy. I don't know. We've had some interesting neighbors over the years. But he says, hey, we all of us can do that. It's not hard to love your neighbors, and it's not hard to hate your enemy. Those are things that kind of come naturally. Jesus says, no, that's not the way. We need to take that love to the next level. And I'm kind of curious, How many of you had someone that just didn't like you or just does not like you? Raise your hand. You have somebody right now, maybe they just, for whatever reason. All right, you can put your hands down. I have people that just don't like me, and sometimes it's just personality or whatever else. They just don't like me. Now, how many of you have somebody that you just, for whatever reason, I'm not asking, don't tell me the reason, you just don't like this person? You have anybody like that? Even my wife's doing this. She doesn't want me to see her hand up. She's trying to be honest. Because not all of us. Probably not Miss Wanda. She loves everybody. But most of us have people that, for whatever reason, we just don't click. You know, personalities kind of clash or whatever. Not that they've necessarily done anything to me or done anything to them, but we don't like each other for whatever reason. And he's talking here about not just people that, for whatever reason, we just don't like, because we all have those people. For whatever reason, they just don't like us. That would be one thing for him to say. But he says in these verses here, and just to make sure you got it, according to what they had been taught, remember what Jesus said in verse 43, you've been taught this. According to what they had been taught, how should you treat your enemies? Okay, according to what they've been taught, how should you treat them? Hate. Says this is what you've been taught, to hate your enemies. Okay? Which, that's so easy, even I can do that. Even I can hate my enemies. But according to Jesus' teaching, what should you do to your enemies? Right, you should love them. And man, that's hard to do. That is hard to do, to love your enemies. What should you do to those that curse you, according to what Jesus says here? Yeah, bless them. What should you do to those that hate you? Right? Do good to them. That's what Jesus said. What should you do to those that despitefully use you and persecute you? Right? Pray for them. And these are not natural responses for us. My natural response is to hate them. They don't like me. My natural response is to be against them. And Jesus says, no. As a believer, as a disciple, as a follower of mine, you need to take your love to the next level and not just love people who look like you, who sound like you, who act like you, but literally go to the opposite extreme of people who hate everything about you. And you need to love them anyway. And talking about how we respond to those who persecute you, Jesus had already talked about why it was a good thing to be persecuted. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, he says this, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So Jesus goes so far as to say, it is a good thing to be persecuted. You don't need to mistreat those who persecute you. You pray for them. It's a good thing for you to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And make sure you understand that. Persecuted for righteousness' sake, he says. But we're to pray for them. And we think about the way that Jesus treated people. You know, you go back over these ways that you're supposed to treat people according to verse 44 and what Jesus says. Jesus is not just preaching something to us. He lived it out. Think about the way Jesus loved his enemies, which before we knew Jesus as our Savior, we were his enemy. You were his enemy. And you know what he chose to do? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You have made yourself his enemy, but he loves you. He gave his life. He paid the price for your sins. So Jesus is not just telling us that we should love our enemies. He fleshed it out in the way that he behaved. He says, hey, you need to bless those that curse you. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Even while he's hanging on the cross and dying for them, people were cursing him, mocking him. Did he curse them back? No. He chose to bless them. He says, hey, you need to do good to them that hate you. That's exactly what Jesus did. I mean, you think about that moment in the garden as Jesus is being betrayed. One of them, you know, Peter grabs the sword and is like, no, I'm not letting this happen. Like, I'm going to defend you. I'll kill every single one of these guys, Jesus. He takes a sword out and he cuts off Malchus's ear, remember? And you know what Jesus did to that person who was there to arrest him and take him to the cross? He reached down, picked up that ear, put it back on his head, and healed him and made him whole. He's not just telling us to do good to those that hate you. He lived it in his life. What about those that would persecute you? He said, hey, you need to pray for them. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And even while he's dying on the cross, he looks up and says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. See, he's not just preaching. He lived it out. And he tells us that, hey, we need to take our love to the exact next level. The same level that Jesus loved people is the way that you and I are to love people. And, you know, it's amazing to see even other Christians in the New Testament doing the exact same thing. Think about Stephen. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Stephen, Stephen was a man who loved Jesus, who told others about him. And because of that, he was stoned to death. And in Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60, it says this, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he, Stephen, kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, or in other words, he died. That's the way we're supposed to deal with people. People who persecute us, who mistreat us. He says, don't hate them. Don't mistreat them back. You love them, and you love them the way that Jesus loves them. And he goes on and talks about why we should treat them this way in verse number 45 of Matthew chapter number 5. He says this, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He says, hey, you need to be just like your heavenly Father. Think about the way your heavenly Father treats people. When that sun comes up in the morning, it doesn't just come up on the good. The sun rises for those who do not do good as well. It doesn't just rise up for those who know Jesus as their Savior. It rises up for those who do not know Jesus as their Savior. He displays that love to everyone. He says, you think about when the rain comes. And man, we need rain. And some places in Iowa are a lot worse than others as far as the drought is concerned. But when the rain comes, it rains on the just. It also rains on the unjust. He pours it out evenly for them. And he says, that's the way you and I are to treat people. We're to treat them evenly. Don't just love your neighbor. Don't just love the people who act like you, who go to your church, who look like you, who vote like you. Hey, love all people exactly the same way. That's what he tells us to do. No matter how they treat us. He says in verse 46, continuing on with the conversation, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And that word publicans, in case you're not familiar with it, is tax collectors. How many of you love your tax collectors? Nobody. Wow. Okay. Me neither. As much as we don't like them, they hated them. Okay, our tax collectors work for our government. Their tax collectors worked for the government that had them enslaved. There's a big difference. their tax collectors cheated them, mistreated them, took advantage of them. And so when he says tax collectors, think about the worst person you could possibly think of in the earth. That's the way they looked at tax collectors during this day. And what I find is so funny is as Matthew's writing this, right? He's writing down the words of Jesus. As Matthew is writing this, Matthew was a tax collector. So he's literally penning these words knowing they're about him also. Now, Jesus had brought him out of that. But I find that so amusing as he was recording the words here. And Jesus says, hey, the tax collectors, the most despised person that you can possibly think of, they behave the exact same way. They love the people who love them. They treat the people well that treat them well. That is the way that they behave. The most despised person that you can possibly think of. And when we behave that way, we behave no better than the people that are the most despised that we can possibly think of. And yet some of us pat ourselves on the back for that. Jesus says, it's time to go next level in our love. Because the worst of people love people who love them. The worst of people treat people good that treat them good. Or well, as my wife would probably rather I say. He says in verse 47, and if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And so he continues on and says, hey, even if you just talk about, because remember, there's the children of Israel here, but they're occupied by the Romans. So you have the Romans and the children of Israel living amongst each other. The children of Israel are in bondage. So you know what they would do is they would go around and they would give salutes and they'd give blessings to their fellow children of Israel, fellow Israelites. They would not do the same for the Romans that were there. They treated the Romans much differently than they would treat their own people. And Jesus says, that's not the way you and I are supposed to be. And unfortunately, even in our own society, we have people like that. That as long as, hey, you look the same exact like me, you got the same skin color, then I'll treat you one way. But if your skin color is something different, I'm going to treat you differently. The worst of humanity does that. You understand that? That's what Jesus said. The worst people you can possibly think of, that's the way they treat one another. Or we treat somebody that we know, hey, they're an American. So we treat them one way. But somebody else from a different country, we treat them differently. Jesus says that's the way the worst people live. That's the way the worst people behave. For some of us, it's not necessarily about those things, but hey, if you go to my church, then I treat you one way. But if you go to another church over there on the other side of town or down the street or whatever else, then we treat them another way. No, listen. We all know Jesus if we put our faith and trust in him. It doesn't matter what church they go to. We're Christians. We're believers. We ought to treat one another with love, dignity, respect. Jesus says, hey, we need to take that to the next level, to a point where we are mature in character, just like our Heavenly Father is mature in character. Notice what he says in verse number 48. Be you therefore perfect. Now, the word perfect there is not sinless. Hey, we're not going to be sinless until we go to be with Jesus and we see him face to face. We're still going to struggle as far as that is concerned. So he's not saying, hey, be sinless. The idea behind that word perfect means mature of character. He says you need to be of a right character just like your Father, which is in heaven, has right character. The way that he loves is the way that you and I are to love. And remember that illustration he gave. How does the sun come up? Does the sun come up just on one group of people versus another group of people? No, it does not. When the rain falls, does the rain fall just on this church? People who go to this church but not this church? No. He says the way that God loves people And the scripture very clear, God so loved the world. No one is excluded from that. And if someone tells you different, they're not speaking the truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's free gift of salvation is open and available to everybody. Why? Because he loves all people. And that is the way that you and I are supposed to love people. Now, naturally, we have it in us to treat people the same way they treat us. That's natural within us. But Jesus is calling us to something higher. He wants us to take our love to that next level. Is there someone who has made themselves your enemy? Love them. Is there someone that curses you? And I have somebody that when I walk by their house and they see me, they haven't done this in a while, so maybe they might have forgot. They would curse me. Literally curse me. Now, I think there's a lot more to the story, but that's hard to be nice to someone that does that to you. But we need to bless them. That's what Jesus said. Is there someone that hates you? Do good to them. Is there someone that persecutes you for doing right? Pray for them. That is the way that Jesus responded. That's the way that he wants us to respond as well. Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, "You have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Jesus is not looking for status quo followers. He's looking for followers who are willing to take it to the next level. Let's take our love to the next level today.